My name is Patty Hunter, and I'd like to invite you today into the meal and the metaphor to prepare ourselves for communion. You know, Jesus' Last Supper with his disciples was his last Passover meal on this earth. It was an evening of uncertainty, confusion, and astonishment in some ways for the disciples, his friends. We as the reader, we know how the story ends. We know the meaning of this Last Supper. Jesus created at this meal a portrayal, an action, a ritual, some might say, of remembrance and of thanksgiving for a community that would carry his core message and his lasting message to the world. And this ritual of participation that we're about to take here in a few minutes is an act, is an observance, is a practice in this meal, one that we're going to keep repeating again and again until his return. I love that thought. That's why we're here. That's why every Sunday we partake of this meal. I'm going to paraphrase Luke 22 just for time's sake, but I'm going out of Luke 22, 14 through 20. You know, in Luke 22, 14, Jesus says, I'm not going to eat this meal again until it finds fulfillment, until we eat it together. And as I talk today, I'm talking a lot about this community, this church, us. In verse 17, he takes the first cup and he says, I will not drink this again until the kingdom of God comes. So we've got the Passover meal he's not going to eat again. We've got the cup he's not going to drink again. 19 says, he took the bread, he broke it and said, this is my body given to you. Keep doing this to remember me and what I'm about to do for you. Now remember, they don't know the end of the story. You keep doing this until I return. And verse 20 says, after supper, he took the other cup. And those of you who know the Seder meal, there's more than one cup of wine that's drunk. He said, he takes this cup. This is a cup of the new covenant in my blood, which is going to be poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. By now, they're looking at each other going, what is he talking about? Something new is about to happen. Isaiah 43 tells us to stop looking back at the past, at the former things, but something new is about ready to happen, and this meal is when that something new is going to come. The unleavened bread, the bread of Passover meal, represents that the Israelites are fleeing from Egypt. And they're fleeing so fast because Pharaoh says, get out of town. They grab their dough. They throw it over their shoulders in their dough troughs. They don't have let it have time to rise. It's the unleavened bread because they're leaving in such haste. The matzah bread is the bread of haste. Every Passover meal, we had the matzah bread, reminding them that it was they're leaving Israel in haste. It means bread of haste. As Jesus took the bread and he broke it, this time was different. He said, here, go ahead and eat this. Neil, go ahead and eat this. This is my body. Jeannie, eat this. This is my body. Sonny, eat this. This is my body. And the disciples must have been looking at him going, what on earth? We might even hear Peter looking at Andrew and whispering, if we listen carefully enough, bro, I thought this was supposed to be our remembrance of liberation out of Egypt. What's he talking about? This deep mystery of wine and bread is slowly to sink in until the church, his bride, is fully ready to meet the bridegroom, Jesus. And that's when we will all drink together and eat together at the eternal wedding feast. That's why we do this every week. Not just for this moment, not just for this Sunday, not even for our lifetimes. It needs to continue until his return, until the fulfillment, until that great banquet is going to be served for all of us together as the bride at the feast. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to miss that party. Jesus' memory continues for us in the meal and the metaphor. The bread being his body, the wine, life's blood. In John 6, I love this. If you haven't read it in a while, Jesus just announces that he is the bread of life. And by eating his flesh and drinking his blood, we enter into him and he into us. That is a profound mystery, y'all. That is one worthy to contemplate. Augustine, 3rd century theologian, said we are what we eat. Think about that. Communion has been scandalous from the beginning of time. Man, the Jews, they rioted over it. They debated sharply, they grumbled, and even the disciples themselves in John 6:60 said, this is intolerable language. Who can accept this? Eating and drinking flesh, Jesus trying to make sense of it all. So let's chew on this mystery. The bread, the juice, the new covenant. Because the more we participate, the more we practice it, not debating it, not studying it, not discussing it, practicing and participating in it, we'll begin to understand the depth of this truth of the new covenant, and we'll proclaim his death until he comes, as Paul says. This meal of remembering is not grounded in our own worthiness of any form. Nope, you don't. If you come in here, a mess. It's not grounded in any form of our own worthiness, but willingness to participate and trust the depth of the mystery. The Eucharist, as it's sometimes called, is not a participation of thanksgiving only, but I believe it's a participation of radical solidarity with Jesus and with each other as a community as we serve, we sacrifice, and sometimes we even suffer for the body of Christ, the church. Take this, eat this, drink this, not alone, but together in community until I return. Let us pray. Father God, thank you so much for sending Jesus to be our bread of life. As we prepare to take this bread and this juice together, I just pray with all sincerity that we take it in a manner of honor, respect, appreciation, and thanksgiving for the new covenant of love, grace, and forgiveness through what Jesus did sacrifice and suffer on the cross. As your bride, the church, let us remain in you and you in us as we take this communion today until we eat it together again at the eternal wedding feast. It's with unbridled joy and gratitude that I offer this prayer. Amen.